Where is my there? Part two. Where's Jack's there? He knows where it is. It's at the feet of Jesus. Where's your there? Your there can change, but your there will always be at the feet of Jesus. If you'll stay at the feet of Jesus, you'll get to your next there. I said, if you'll stay at his feet, amen, because at his feet is your destiny. At the feet of Jesus. Mary, his mother, was at his feet on that cross. She was there. Blood coming off of that cross, but she didn't leave. But she trusted God. She knew, she pondered all those words of prophecy in her heart when God told her, this is my son, and he's going to take away the sins of the entire world. And Mary just had to sit there and trust God, even though Jesus was struggling. Took all the beating, all the persecution, even at the cross. We see the pictures, what they're painted. Jesus was naked. He was stripped naked. The pictures don't portray how graphic it was. I said how graphic it was. Remember, take it back to the garden. Adam was stripped naked. What? Because of sin. So was our Savior stripped naked because of sin. And he never sinned. But he became became humiliated so that we could stand before kings like Elijah did. And says, thus saith the Lord. You're wrong, King. What you're doing's wrong. And what God said is right. That's your there. Your there is what God has said. What God has said is right. It's covenant. Amen. We're going to pick up on part two and talking about, just summarizing, where is my there? And this comes out of 1 Kings. There was three questions I asked that you need to be able to answer. Three most life's most important questions to anybody. Who am I? And I'm going to share this a little bit at Pastor Bob's homecoming. Who am I? Where did I come from? And where am I going? And if you can answer those three questions correctly, you need to answer them correctly, you get the prize, you get the reward. Life everlasting. I'm a child of God. That's who I am. Once you get born again and call on Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He makes you a child of God. Where did I come from? You got to read Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's where I came from. I came from God, and where am I going when I breathe my last, whether by the rapture or by the grave? I'm going back to Father God, spirit, soul, and He's going to change my body. Whether that's by the rapture or it's the resurrection, when He comes back again, whether I go by the rapture or by the grave, my body's going to be changed. Amen. That's what the Bible says, and I believe the Holy Scriptures. So how did Elijah know where his there was? It started when he was a youth. His parents. We don't have much of his history, but I can look at somebody. This is spiritual law. What's coming out of your mouth is coming out of your heart. Now, you might be able to sugarcoat it sometimes, because I was good at doing that. My wife would ask me what I'm doing when I was on the computer, and I was on websites I was a sinner now. I wasn't saved. I was on those bad websites. I could hide it real quick. I could pull up. I had me a page ready to cover up where I was really at. See, sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay. It'll cost you more than you're willing to pay. The devil hates you, and he wants to sugarcoat it, but he's really out to kill you. Sometimes you might think, well, I just got a cough. Get the word on that cough in Jesus' name. Because, see, the devil don't want to just make you sick. He wants to kill you. But Jesus came to give us life. And Elijah was raised, and he was born from his mother's womb. He was called to be a prophet. And we talked about his background. He just showed up. He just showed up one day before the most evilest king of Israel, King Ahab, and had a word for him. And he said, Elijah said, at my word, there shall not be rain or dew on this earth until I say so. Now, Ahab didn't know the God that Elijah knew. Ahab was serving Baal, and his wife was a big part of that. That was the devil. In the Old Testament, we don't hear the devil a lot, but you'll hear Baal worship, idol worship. It's the devil. They just didn't have a revelation of who the devil was. But they knew who God was, some of them. Elijah did. He knew the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He knew the God of fire, consuming fire. Amen? That same God, if you're a Christian, comes and takes residence on the inside of a Christian. the fire of God, the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Wayne, I just gave Jared one of the Azusa books from the Azusa Revival, and it was written, it says, they told us their stories, and it was written by the youth, the stories that the youth told of the great Azusa Street Revival. And I told Jared and Jordan, just share that, read it, and then they can bring it back to the Word Library. But I started reading that, man, I got on fire. I wish I knew that when I was a youth. Because when you're young, there's so many different ways that you could go. And I didn't know what I was called to do or where to go. And I didn't have a dad. I just had a mom that loved us and worked all that she could to provide for us. But she really didn't know what purpose I was called or really she was called. But she was doing all that she knew to do. She was going to church. But still, had I known about Azusa Street and the fire of God and the power of God, if I had heard some of those stories, you heard me maybe Wednesday night, I heard a lot of my sisters and brother, their friends would come over, and I'm the baby of the family. I'm the little guy. I'm in second grade, but they're outside telling ghost stories. And I got scared, so I didn't want to, I cover my head up when I go to sleep. But if I'd only heard about the Holy Ghost stories, man, I wouldn't have had fear. God would have gave me a boldness. Amen. As a child, you can have that boldness. Because that's God's no respecter of persons. That's young or old. Amen. So read that book. And look out, Wayne. A revival will probably break out. And those kids, I tell you, it's awesome. Our God is awesome. And the devil's after seed. He's after our children. Always has been. He was after Jesus, but he couldn't find him. Why? God hid him. God's smarter than the devil. So anyway, I'm going to pick us up here. Talked about the background, and you can go online and download this. I have it more online now than I have CDs ready to go, but if you need a CD, I'll be glad to get you one. But I'm going to pick up here on in chapter 17, 1 Kings chapter 17. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. A very little background was given on Elijah. The Tishbite, that's his nickname. He's the Tishbite. The Bible says he was a hairy man. Now, if Dallas was here, I'd pick on him a little bit, but I still wouldn't see that. Dallas is about the hairiest out of my children. But he's a hairy man. And Elijah, that was one of his characteristics. And I think he had a long beard. He was just a hairy man. And that's all I'm going to say about that. King Ahab knew it was him when he saw him. It's Elijah, that Tishbite. But this was a prophesied punishment that Elijah delivered to King Ahab for the Israelites, because if they had quit, it was prophesied, if they quit seeking the Lord and turn to other gods, this is what's going to happen. It's in Deuteronomy 11, 16 through 17. So in a sense, Elijah was just pronouncing what God had already said would happen. And God's not mocked. Whatever he says, this covenant, it's going to happen. Now you can repent. And you can change some things. Amen. That's in the Word too. God has spoken something, but he actually gave us the power. Life and death is in the power of your words. Amen. Moses called on the Lord to repent at one time, and the Lord repented. Ain't that awesome? I said, ain't that awesome? So in a sense, Elijah was just pronouncing what God's Word had already said would happen. Each one of us has a word from God. And if we're saved, we have God's word of salvation on the inside of us. We have a good report. Amen. Jack, you got a good report this morning. Amen. Amen. Vivian's going to be, when she gets things going to come into her, you know what? The love of God is just going to, that compassion, it's going to be overwhelming for her. But you know what? That's a consuming God. He loves us that much. Amen. He knows the need before we have need of it. So chapter 17, verse 2. Let me get there. Because I might want to mention some of these. The word from God about Elijah's protection, it didn't come. Now we're talking about, where is my there? That word from Elijah, about protection, that word didn't come till after he had already given the word about the drought that was coming. In other words, he stood before Ahab and said this. Well, God, that's the only word he had. So Elijah didn't have the whole picture yet. He didn't know from the beginning what was going to happen to him or how he would be protected. So what did he do? He had to be faithful to give the word first. Where is my there? Amen. Then the will of God comes in stages. Mark 4:28. If y'all get that on the screen, I'd like to read that. Thank you, Jesus. Let's see how fast my team is back there. Mark 4:28. Thank you, Jesus. There it is. For the earth brings forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. Sounds like a process. You can actually throw your 30, 60, 100 fold in there. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. The will of God comes in stages. It shows there is first the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. Failure to act on the word we have will stop us or can stop us from getting further instructions. Amen? Because there's a process. There's a process. Why should the Lord show us step two or three if we won't even step out on step one? Amen? And if you got a flight of stairs, don't think you can just, unless you Spider-Man, you can get to the top of those stairs with one jump. You know, who was it, one of our astronauts when he first stepped on the moon? Said that's one small step for mankind and one giant leap, one small step for man and one giant leap for mankind. That was, if you'll go and read, was that Buzz Aldrin? Neil Armstrong. If you'll go read, he was a Christian. That word came from God because he went back and he talked, you know, he's speaking, it wasn't about him. That's why one small step for me. He was the man to do it, but see, he was so humble. And he said, but that's one giant leap for mankind. And see, that's what it is about being at the feet of Jesus. Humble yourself. The Bible says Moses was the meekest man in all the earth. And there was a lot of people on the earth at his time. Who wrote the first five books? Moses. So was Moses speaking of himself? When he said that, Moses said, I'm the meekest. Moses is the meekest man on all the earth. You might think that's pride. No, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is having confidence of who God says you are. I said of who God says you are. That's boldness. That's meekness. That's not weakness. That's not pride. That's you. I know who I am. Elijah knew who he was. He had to stand before the most evilest king that could have just done, killed him right there on the spot. But he couldn't. Fear of God. Elijah was protected. Amen. He was protected. And he knew it. Verse 6. 1 Kings 17, verse 6. The ravens brought Elijah bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook Cherith. The bread and flesh that was brought to Elijah morning and evening was miraculous. Can everybody say amen? Bird flying in bringing you food? That's a miracle right there. And I guess it was, you know, pretty good enough that you could eat it. You know, it ain't, you know what I mean? But I'd rather have Cindy cooking me something or bringing me something from Porky's Barbecue than having that raven bringing my food. But thank God, I was able to stop by McDonald's and get my biscuit this morning. I had my card. But thank God I had some food and I had some money. But Elijah was trusting God. And what did do? What did God do? He got him what he needed. Amen. It showed up. The water that Elijah drank from the brook, that was natural. Now, the ravens bringing the food, that's a miracle. But the water's natural. That's what God gave him. Amen? Right there in the desert. Notice he had to have both. You know, Jack, been to the hospital. That's natural. doctors, but he also has been to the doctor, the great physician, Jesus. He's at his feet. We need both. You ever watch Forrest Gump? You know, it's a pretty good movie. It's got some, you know, not for young adults, but remember when Jenny went to heaven? Jenny died. Forrest is out there running. You know, you can bring things and you can bring them down to a spiritual. What's he doing? He's running and he's remembering. He's running. He don't know where he's going. Where's his there? Forrest Gump didn't know where his there was. He was running. Just running. But what was he doing while he was running? He was looking and he was seeing things that he never saw before. Talking about Forrest Gump. When he was with Jenny. Because that was his there. When his Jenny was there and they were married, that's his there. Man, that's his place. But Jenny left way before her time in this movie because of what? Cancer, the devil, sickness. And Forrest Gump lost his there. Man, that was his Jenny. I said, that was his Jenny. There's a lot of us that's lost loved ones this year. I've lost my mom. Well, I got to change that. Mom is in heaven. I haven't lost anything. Heaven's gained. She's gained everything. But I miss her. I've had a lot of people. We've had a lot of people go to heaven this year and previous. And we're going to miss them. But there's another there for you now. Jesus is there. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And we've got to go through some places. Some dry places, if I might say. We're going to have to go through some dry places. Our theirs might change. But Jesus is with us in the there. Amen. There's going to be some natural things. But also the supernatural thing is there. The Holy Spirit, He's there. The Word, He's there. Your church family, they're there. Amen. We ain't going nowhere until it's time. Amen. We're going to finish our race and run our course, right? So the water that he drank from the brook was the natural. The food by the birds, that was a miracle. That was the supernatural. Notice he had to have both. He would have died without the supernatural, the bread, the food. It would have took a little bit longer without the water. The Lord usually meets our needs with a combination of the supernatural and the natural. Amen. Some people have only looked for the supernatural provision and have missed God's natural provision. Brother Hagin said it this way. You can miss the spectacular. No, wait a minute. You can miss the supernatural looking for the spectacular. You understand that? That doesn't mean we're not believing for miracles, but you can miss the supernatural by not, when your wife needs a glass of tea and you're sitting there and you're on your iPhone and she won't know if you get her a glass of tea and you said, no, just go ahead and get, no, I'm busy right now. You just missed an opportunity to do something miraculous. Amen. To be a blessing to your wife. Amen. Because one day she might not be there, right? And we're like, wow. And you know what I mean? It's just those little things that add up to a big thing. Those little things in our life that a lot of times we forget about means a lot. Getting on a lawnmower and mowing for your husband when your husband's incapacitated at the time, that's a big thing. It might be a little thing, but it's a big thing. Amen? And it makes the whole picture come together. The Bible says, let the weak say I'm strong. Sometimes I'm weak and I need somebody else to be strong for me. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. We need both, the natural and the supernatural. Think about Mary looking at Jesus. Man, that's God's Son. That's the supernatural. But she's looking at the natural too. That Jesus, God had to become a flesh. He had to become a man. He had to take on flesh, sinful flesh that he never sinned. But then he had to pass. He had to go to hell so that we could get a free ticket. We don't have to go there. Amen? So he had to become sin. He had to die. The wages of sin is death. Jesus, when he died, he became sin on that cross. Because he wasn't killed. They crucified him, but they didn't kill him. He gave his life. God gave his life he gave a ransom, his life. Amen? Because Jesus had this promise, you will not leave my soul in Sheol. You will not let your Holy One see corruption. That's what David said. David saw it before it came. Had a word from God. Spoke it. He was a king. Declared it. And Jesus fulfilled it. Amen. Amen. He fulfilled it. He was raised from the dead. And when he was raised, I was raised. That's a spiritual concept. Your natural mind can't understand it. You don't have to. You just believe it with your heart, not with your head. Amen. You believe with your heart and you say with your mouth, you confess the Lord Jesus and you shall be saved, delivered from hell. That's separation from God. Because anything that's away from God is hell. If you're separated from God, it's hell. I'm sorry. It's just, there is a place called hell. But I lived in hell on this earth alive without God. I struggled. Amen? I struggled. But Jesus was always there in my hell. He was right there with me. The supernatural, all I had to do was turn and call on his name. But I had to know that there's power in that name of Jesus. It ain't just a name. It's the name. Amen? There's only one Jesus. There's only one way to the Father. And there's power in his name. When you put faith in the name of Jesus. Because there's a lot of people say Jesus, but they don't have faith in his name. They're just using his name in vain. I did it. But now I know the man, Christ Jesus. I know the Savior, my risen Savior, and soon and coming King. Amen? Hallelujah. Verse 9 in 1 Kings 17. Thank you, Jesus. And he told Elijah, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Remember, Elijah is a prophet. See, that's important. See, I have. What is that? Is that present, past, or future? I have. That's past, right? I have. See that I have already, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. There. Where's your there? Amen. Elijah's there changed. He was by the brook. All by himself, him and God. Birds bringing him food. Man, he was in heaven on earth. God providing water, creek running good, you know. Sparkling. We got sparkling natural water, whatever you want to call it. But he had water from heaven. I mean, this was blessed water. Amen. The word there, here, in verse 9, I have commanded a widow woman to feed you there, provide for you there. This word there is used twice in this verse, revealing that God's provision had moved. It had moved. All right, hold on with me there. See, we sometimes seek the Lord and we find our there, but then think that we'll never change. We're just going to stay there. Amen. We get comfortable. We get comfortable. You know, Peter is a good example. He was comfortable with his fishing. He knew where to fish. He knew how to fish, when to fish, and he knew when the fishing was over. When you don't catch no fish, it's time to come home. Quit spending your time working, get home. Well, Jesus had a different strategy than Peter's. And Peter had never seen that supernatural. See, Peter was what? He was relying on the, we would call it, sometimes we rely on the farmer's almanac. Anybody ever done that? I remember my mom looking at, this is going to be the worst winter we've ever had. Well, how do you know that? Clyde McLean hadn't said, he hadn't forecasted yet. That's who I used to, Clyde, y'all remember Clyde McLean on Channel 3 or Channel 9? Cloudy McLean, we used to call him, give him a nickname. He was pretty good. He had some help. He had weather satellites. Elijah didn't have no satellite back here that was pointing him there and pointing him there. He didn't have, somebody mentioned DoorDash. DoorDash wasn't bringing him food. The birds from heaven were bringing him food. And they were commanded by God who created the bird. You don't think God can take care of you? He told us at one time, look at the birds. They don't reap, they don't sow, but God, your Heavenly Father, takes care of them. What about, are you not more important than a bird? You're supposed to say, yes, amen, yes, you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Our God is faithful. I said he's faithful. We got to give him something to work with. So he says, sometimes we seek the Lord and find our there, but then we think it'll never change. That's not how God works. Don't get comfortable with you there sometimes. I'm not talking about this church. Now, you can put in all your job. And there is times, me and Sherry, we've transitioned to different churches, but you want to make sure that's what God tells you to do. And then do it the right way. There's a right way and a wrong way of doing it. Come to the pastor. Y'all believe I hear from God too. And I know you hear from God, but we want to make sure we both have heard the right thing for you. There's a right and a wrong way to do it. If God's called you to go somewhere, and I've had ministers when I was teaching LCU, and I wasn't even their pastors, and have students come up to me and say, Pastor, I feel like I got this call, and the Lord's called me to start a ministry, but my pastor is saying, he says this. And when I heard what they said, I'm like, well, that ain't God. I'm not your pastor, but you need to pray for this pastor. But nowhere in the Bible does it say, if God's called you, then I'm going to keep you from doing that calling. That's between you and God. I'm sorry. If God's called you to do something, I'm going to say, it's blessed, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to agree, and I'm going to say, we're going to release you to do that thing God's called you to do. That's what you want to do. But to say that God has not said or God has not called, that's not what God's calling you to do. You got to pray that thing out, I'm sorry. And then God's got to work in that. Amen. So your there can change. God's place of provision changes. I've had different jobs. They've changed. But God is the same. Those who only seek God occasionally can become stuck in a place that was God's perfect will at one time, but is no longer so. Need to say that again. Those who only seek God occasionally and say, that's not me. And amen, don't say that's me. I want to seek God 24/7. They can become stuck in a place that was God's perfect will at one time, but no longer is so. I would say you can kind of get stuck in complacency. Well, everything's working good in my life, and I just got a promotion, and, you know, everything's good, Pastor. Everything's good. And nothing wrong with that, as long as that's the perfect will of God for you right now. See, we need to stay in fellowship with the Lord, and we need to know, we need to move when the cloud moves. Exodus 40, 36, 37. Can y'all get that for me? We need to look at that a little bit. Exodus 40, verses 36 and 37. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. Verse 37. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. That cloud represented the Holy Spirit. That was the manifested presence of God over the tabernacle. God knows your end from the beginning. And he had revelation. He knew the devil, and he knew who he was working through in Israel's enemies out there. And he wouldn't move. They wouldn't move until the cloud moved. Now, we don't need a cloud. We don't need to look out here at the clouds and take that soup, that miraculous thing, and put it into a physical cloud. This was not a physical cloud. This was the Shekinah glory of God that Jared, in that book you're going to read, manifested over 100 years ago, and he's still manifesting in a church at Azusa Street where they could actually see the cloud rolling in. And you know what happened? There was people that came that were healed with broken bones and arms that didn't have arms, and they received, arms grew out, and broken bones, he's already left, broken bones, shoulders, bones popping and cracking, and people getting healed in that cloud. That is true experiences that happen. And people wrote their stories about it. Now, we're not looking for a Azusa Street revival. We're just looking for revival. We're looking for God to show off and do what he said in the word he said he would do. Amen. What does it take? It takes people to believe. They would ask him. You didn't have to. It wasn't about paying your tithes. I didn't hear it through reading all those stories, and I'm sure they did. I heard nothing about giving money, taking up money. All I heard about was God and his love and manifesting people coming in, being sick. Didn't their teeth had rotten teeth, their teeth getting healed. Back then, they didn't have the things that we have. The luxuries that we have to go to the dentist and all this stuff. They, if God didn't provide it, they just did without. Well, God don't want us doing without. And he had a man called by the name of William Seymour that told him what to do in those services. And a lot of the miracles happened before he even came down from the upper room. He would come down and sit down and put a box on his head. Put a box on his head. I talked about this Wednesday night. I wear a hat a lot of times on Wednesday night. Why? Because I like to wear hats. Even when I had hair, I wore hats. Come on. It ain't because my top's kind of faded a little bit. I've always wore hats most of the time. But he would not, until he got a word, whatever that word was from the Lord, he stayed, that crate was over his head. And those kids talk about, they would try to look underneath that crate and kind of listen to see what he was saying. But nobody touched the crate because it was kind of like sacred. Because when he would take that crate off his head, depending on what the Lord said, sometimes he would look to a section, they were all in wheelchairs. And they would all get out, all get healed. He would speak to them, point his finger over there, and they would hear bones cracking back in place. Whatever had to happen. That was the Shekinah, the manifested glory of God, miracles, signs and wonders by a man that probably wasn't even that educated. But you know what? He knew God. I said he knew God. And he knew the voice of God. And when God said something, it happened. This went on for about three and a half years. Amen. That is awesome. I said, that is awesome. We need to change our mindset. We need to reset to what God has said. He hasn't changed. I said, he hasn't changed. He's the same. His word is the same. His power is the same. His Holy Spirit is the same Holy Spirit that when God said, light be, light became. When God called forth all the fish, you know who created those fish? The Holy Spirit, by the word of God, made every fish that's in the sea. And they're different. He made every one of us, and we're all different. We were created by that same Holy Spirit. So when the cloud moved, the people moved. Next, notice that the Lord had already spoken to this widow woman about sustaining Elijah. God said, I have commanded. She had some idea about what was going to happen, but she didn't have the whole picture. She just had a word from the Lord too. Somebody's coming. Somebody's going to come visit you. I'm not sure exactly what word, because it doesn't really show us. So we can speculate, but we don't need to write a book about what God said to the widow woman, because Jesus made mention of that widow woman. God could have spoke to he was wanting to speak to a lot of widow women, but there was only one here that he spoke to that Jesus made reference to, that she had ears to hear. She believed in the God of Abraham. She believed in these miracles she had heard of. She hadn't seen a lot of them, but she had heard. She believed. She had some idea about what was going to happen. This wasn't a random act. The Lord picked her specifically, as Jesus mentioned in Luke 4:25-26. Guys, find that one for me. Look at you. But Jesus said, I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. Let's read verse. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto that one, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow, that what God had spoken to. I said that God had spoken to. She was Elijah's next there. I have commanded the widow woman to stain thee there. Well, what if Elijah said, well, praise God, I ain't moving until I see the cloud move. Or I ain't moving until three birds come without food. You know, he's looking for a sign. Well, guess what? The provision was going to be over there. It would have stopped. Amen. Because God, when God says something, he means it. Amen. Go there, do this, and this will happen. That's just the way God is. So the Lord picked her specifically, as Jesus mentioned there. on the internet, you could find Elijah. I like this since I'm kind of techie, and the Lord told him to move. Your website, we've got a website. It's Word of Faith Worship Center. It's called to look it up. Y'all, this is going to kind of go past you guys. Some of you guys might know it. It's called a URL. It's a user's lookup address. That's how we look you up on the internet. You have an address. If you put WOFWC.com, you'll pull up Word of Faith Worship Center. Well, if Elijah had a web page, it would have been named right then. It would have been www.zarephath.com. I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee at Zarephath. That would be your home page. Get to that home now, Elijah, www.zarephath.com. That is your place of provision. .com means command for computer people. .com, that means that's a command. Amen. Do it. Do it. Amen. Just do it. And wow, there is your miracle. There's your provision. So praise God. I like to say that's a wow. That's a widow woman, www, widow woman, wow. I have commanded a widow woman, www, wow. Come on, y'all gotta go with me on this. Y'all just ain't getting this. That just spoke out there. WWW, that's the World Wide Web. Well, this is God's World Wide Web to Elijah. Get to that widow woman and you will be wow at how God will sustain you. Amen. Your there will change, but wait on the word of the Lord. What did we just sing this morning? Wait on the Lord. He will renew my strength. Wait upon the Lord. As you wait upon the Lord. As you wait upon the Lord. As you wait upon the Lord. All these messages, I wait upon the Lord. Sometimes I'm painting, because my wife is tired of me waiting, sitting on the computer. Is that all you do? She don't understand. I'm waiting upon the Lord. Well, I guess I need to go. I'm painting the bathroom waiting upon the Lord. Sometimes you're there, you better be changed out of that chair. That's not your there. So I moved to the bathroom, Wayne. Wayne's moving, and so he knows what boxes, and he's gone from one there. Wayne's transitioning to a there. And I believe it's there. That's his there. Amen? God has commanded him to be there. And for his family to be there. Family to be there. Amen? One spirit, one baptism, one Lord, one family. God loves family. That's Jesus. That's the whole purpose he came, is to bring us back into the family. The devil don't like families. He don't like us being together. And that's why we got to fight. We got to get in this word, get the word of the Lord, and stand before Ahab, which is the devil, and say, I'm sorry, my family is here with me. I love my family. I love God. And it's going to work. Amen. A lot of things didn't work in my family, but I didn't have a word from the Lord. But I did have God's mercy in my life. And he's worked out a lot of theirs real fast in my later life. Amen. I'll just share that. What I'm going to share with at Bob's place. We're coming to a close here. You're there. This is going to be part three. I think we'll be a part three on this. And I'll just have to wait. I'll just have to wait on the Lord and see. Your there will change, but wait on the Lord. Amen. Just because you deliver the word of the Lord does not mean you will not have trouble. It don't mean you're going to have trouble. But blessed be the name of the Lord, who shall deliver you out of the hand of your enemy. 1 Kings 18:1. And it came to pass, if you're having trouble, come on, it will pass. It will pass. So don't focus on the trouble. I remember playing Monopoly. Anybody play Monopoly? What happens? You click, if you pass, you collect what? $200. There we go. $200. Thank you, Jesus. Somehow I thought the Lord might just work that in there. I think I might have missed the Lord on that. I like the get out of jail free card. That's what I'm thinking about. You remember the get out of jail free card? That's Jesus. Amen. Hell is your jail. But I got a get out of jail free card. Why? Because I was there. I said, I was there. I was there at my house, and Jesus was there. And I said, Lord, I want you here. And he said, I'll be there. And he showed up, and I'm there. Here I am because of a meeting me and Jesus had in my home. Lord, I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of living without you, Lord. I don't know what to do, but I know the Bible says right here, if I call upon the name of the Lord, I shall be saved. And he saved me. And then he delivered me. And then he called me into the ministry. I'd already been called. I didn't have the number. I didn't know how to connect to the call. Why? Because my natural mind can't understand the things of God. But thank God I got the natural, but now I got the supernatural. And if you work both of those, you'll always be in your there. You won't be asking, where's my there? Where's my there? You'll know. And God wants you to stay in the center of his will. In that center, that place of protection, provision. Because it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah. He's been waiting. In the third year, saying, go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. It's time for a rain. The Bible talks about the former rain and the latter rain. That's a natural, but it's also a supernatural. They had to have rain, and they had to have that former rain for the crops, but the latter rain would bring in the harvest. I said the latter rain would bring in the harvest. The Bible talks about a coming time to where the former and the latter rains are going to come. So they're going to come together, and there's going to be a miraculous harvest. I think we're real close to that rain. I said, I think we're real close to where the harvest is going to be like before they come into church doors, they're getting healed. As soon as they pop in the church door, a miracle takes place. That's the former and the latter rain. That's the train. That's God's word coming to pass. 2021 is right around the corner. I think I've got a word, but I'm waiting on the Lord. I shared it to my wife as far as, you know, the Lord, sometimes he'll give us, or a lot of times he'll give me a theme, and he'll come through the body sometimes. Just be waiting upon the Lord for 2021 as we get ready to step into another year, that we want to be there, right in the middle of God's perfect will. And we want others to be there. I said we want others to be there in God's blessing and his protection and provision. Amen. It's there. All the gold, all the silver that God put in the earth is still here. It's just in the wrong place. It's in the wrong hands. The Bible said it's the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. That's a promise from God. It's changed hands many times. I said many times. So, Father, we just thank you. We're trusting you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to stop right there, knowing that Elijah's there changed. And when it changed, when God sent forth the rain, there was a lot of other lives that was going to be changed. For the better. Because I talked to you, I believe, last week. A lot of things that we experience is because our leadership, so that was a king, Ahab, he was over Israel. He wasn't doing what was right before the Lord. He was doing what was wicked. And the land was suffering a drought. It was suffering a drought because of the wickedness that was upon the land. Until the word of the Lord came. Amen. Well, our word came over 2,000 years ago. Hallelujah. We're celebrating his birth this month. Jesus. He came. He is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. Amen. He was born a baby, but he was raised a king. Amen. He was raised a king, but not in the king's house. Not down here on the earth. Where was he born? He was born in Bethlehem. In a cow trough. That was his bed, a cow trough. Did he complain about it? Did Mary and Joseph complain about it? We read about it. I said, we read about it. But oh, he grew. Our Lord grew. And Mary and Joseph taught him about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And you might say, well, when did Jesus find his there? He found it. You can read it in the scriptures. There's a couple places. When he was 12 years old, they went to one of the feasts. And the caravan, Mary and Joseph, they were going back to their, wherever they were residing then, might have been Galilee, I'm not sure, but it took them 2 or 3 days' journey to get there. From the feast, from Jerusalem to their home was about 2 or 3 days' journey. And about 2 days into the journey, they looked for Jesus. He ain't there. He's not there. Mama is upset. Mary's upset. Why? I lost God. Think about it. She lost God. He is God's son, right? He's only 12. But think about losing God. Man, you think you got a problem with your hair. Your hair ain't looking good this morning. She's lost God. Joseph, do you understand? That's God's son. I'm bringing a little bit of humor into this. God knows where he's at. His father knows where he's at. Now, Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, didn't know where he was at, but the father knew where Jesus was at. They went back and they found him. You know where they started? It doesn't say they went and looked at all these places. You know where they went? They went to church. Come on, guys. They knew Jesus. I know where he's at. I know where he's at. That boy's at church. Man, what a proud dad I'd be. To know I would go, that would be the first place I'd be looking for my lost child, would be at church. And they found him there. And they were amazed. You know why? Because he was there. Not only was he hearing, he was instructing the teachers. Man, he was giving them wisdom. Why? He was there. Jesus was in his there. Because they said, Mary's, what are you doing, Jesus? What are you doing here? He goes, Mother, I'm about my father's business. Whoa. You want about somebody that knew where the there was? That was his there. Mary didn't quite understand it, but you don't hear a lot. They just, okay. She didn't spank him. She knew better. Why? He was there. She knew, looking at Jesus, he's here. Man, I experienced Jesus. He stepped out of heaven and stepped into my life. And my there has made different transitions, but he has never left me. He's always there, Jack. You keep checking. I am going back to Whitman Park next Sunday, and I'm gonna let them know about you, but you keep calling and checking. Because wherever God's called each one of you guys, we have a there. Whether you're working for the Postal Service, whatever you're doing, you have a word from God to do it. And you can get it done. Amen? Don't let the devil determine that's not your there. Amen? Jesus loves you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this service today. Thank you, Lord, for strategically putting us in places that you've called us to be. And Father, Holy Spirit, I just thank you right now for giving us, continue this year, Lord, for dreams and visions, still showing us things to come. Visions from you, Lord, that help us determine our there and what to do when we get there. That, Lord, without your word, there's no point in doing anything. That it won't amount to anything. But with your word comes miracles. With your word comes a blessing. With your word comes healing. With your word comes vision. And Lord, I thank you for Angel and for their family right now, Lord. He's got a word that he's already got a word that he's transitioning now. The government's transitioning him to active, right? Active. Well, Lord, you're always active. You've never left. And I just thank you right now, Lord, that wherever they're there is, that, Lord, they're protected there. They're provided there. His family's provided, Lord. And wherever he goes, he's a blessing. He's protected. He's provided. And he's going to do what you called him to do. And, Lord, I thank you for the provision that's there. Already there, Lord. You've already commanded the commanding officers, whoever it may be, Lord, for his and her there, for their family. They will not lack. I said they will not lack for any good thing. Because Jesus, you are the good thing. You're the God thing. And I just speak that blessing that, Lord, they've jumped on the vision here at Word of Faith Worship Center, Lord. And I just thank you, Father God, that you're in their camp. That, Lord, when that cloud moves, they'll move right with that holy, with the Holy Spirit. They'll move and know where to move to. They'll be about the Father's business. And I just speak your blessing over every person in this church. Lord, you give us the desires of our heart. Let those desires be your desires. And I just call them blessed. Call you blessed. If you're listening by internet and you don't know where your there is, first thing I would ask, do you know Jesus? And if you don't know Jesus, he's there. He's right there with you. The word is near thee. The word is in your heart and in your mouth. The Bible says this is the word of faith that we preach. That if you call on the name of the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. And if you're not saved and you want to be saved, you're tired of wondering where your there is, all I ask you to do today is just call on the name of Jesus. And then you need to get into a church that believes in Jesus, that teaches about Jesus, so that you can live a productive Christian life down here on this earth. Word of Faith Worship Center is a place to be. And we just speak a blessing over you right now in Jesus' name.